It says I was 0.4 seconds behind, so I did 0.4 seconds in front of 55. Oh. So let's see how that goes.
I'm 0.4 seconds behind, and I didn't do that, so...
Oh, shit.
Kitten, I think what I'm saying is that sometimes shit happens. Someone has to deal with it, and who are you going to call?
Wow.
This is the Science Fiction Rating System podcast. Did I say rating system already? Didn't I? A bit confused because I was like in my Venkman mode then. That's my favourite line in the film, that is. I love that bit. We're watching Ghostbusters 2 this week. I'm Sam, I'm joined by Chris.
Hello.
And Alex.
I thought we were doing Ghostbusters, the first Ghostbusters, but...
We've done the first Ghostbusters.
We could do two, that's fine. I know them both very well, so it doesn't really matter.
Wow. Right, well, yeah.
Let's see how this goes.
We've already watched Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Well, we've already fucking watched this, haven't we?
Nope.
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we have been doing this podcast for a while. It's hard to keep track of all the films.
This has never happened.
I like how you keep finding new ways to not understand the podcast. It's really exciting. Yeah, so to Chris's shock, this week we're doing Ghostbusters 2, and that's because Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, the worst subtitle in history, was released recently.
It's pretty bad, actually, isn't it?
It is rubbish, yeah.
I could think of better titles... Now, like right this minute.
Do some.
Ghostbusters 2.
Ghostbusters 4.
It's 5, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, it's 5, really.
Dead Cold.
Get Cold. Ghostbusters Get Cold.
Dead Cold.
Oh, Dead Cold. Yeah.
Ooh, I like it, yeah. Ghostbusters... Should it be 2 words?
If you wanted to keep with the cold theme, that's, If not, jettison that whole thing completely, because it's not important.
No, not really. No.
Well, let's start with you two have both seen Frozen Empire, haven't you? You're weird. Yes.
Why? I saw it in the Grove in Hollywood because I was there.
Yeah.
And we had a date night and we had nothing to do. Mm. And that was the only film which I fancied seeing, which was out.
Fair enough.
It was either that or some fucking dog one with Marky Mark.
I don't know what that is, but...
He's making friends with a dog, with Mark What's-His-Face.
Mark Wahlberg.
Well, yeah.
Marky Mark.
Which looked terrible.
True. Fair enough.
It was either that or that.
Was this terrible?
You know what? I came out of it and I thought that wasn't too terrible because I had really low expectations.
Me too.
Have you both seen the other new...
Yes.
I saw, Afterlife. Yeah, I saw I was really annoyed by Afterlife because that was so uncreative.
See.
Now I'm sort of desensitized to uncreativity, so.
Yeah, it's weird.
I really like it when, hacks just, get old films and then put, women in the roles and make them again. That's what I like now. And they get characters like the receptionist from the first one, right?
Yeah.
And they give her a blaster. So now there's 15 people with these
Annie
proton
Potts?
Packs.
Annie Potts
is so they've all got them.
That bit is
they've all got them because they have to every single type of person is there with a proton pack, right? No one's answering the fucking phones anymore.
Right, so this is a rant about diversity in casting. I wasn't expecting that.
No, it's just at least have someone answer the phone.
She does still answer.
It could be...
Get back on the phone, Janine.
She's now...
Have to just wheel everyone out and give them the top job because everyone wants to be the celebrity, Ghostbuster now.
Yeah.
Then no one wants to do the back work, the backroom work.
Do you not think it's not that? It's just that it's
I think it is
Oh, here's Janine
that.
Back
it
and now
that.
She's a Ghostbuster.
Another fucking poster, right? They've got... What's his face? Who's that? Rudd guy? Rudy's massive on the
Paul
poster.
Rudd, yeah,
Paul
yeah,
Rudd.
Yeah.
Venkman is massive on the poster. Bill Murray is massive on the poster. And then you go back all these millions of people at a Ghostbusters. Mm. There's six rows of Ghostbusters. And the girl that's actually the main character in this film.
Yeah, she is.
She is about halfway back. You can't see her.
No, she's like, the main character.
She's been fucked over.
Yeah, she's the most. Yeah, she's the most important person.
And she's good.
Yeah, she is.
And she's got a good little story going on, like a bit of a romance, like a lesbian romance with a female ghost.
Yep.
And they don't really go there, but they kind of touch on it.
He's completely bang on. It's interesting, and it's
very nicely done, like as a coming of age young adult type thing.
100%.
She's like hidden back there, and then you've got this fucking guy, English guy. James Acaster.
Yeah,
is it James Acaster?
Yeah, it's James. Yeah,
yeah, he's in it, and he's got the most lines ever.
He's quite,
and he's explaining everything.
Yeah, he's quite. An
he's basically
role.
The Egon of the new one.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's quite a big role.
He's not active, is he, though, James Acaster?
He was in... He
all
was
these
in
comedians
that,
turn out you know to be actors when you put them in the films.
You know that terrible Cinderella film that had...
James Corden.
Yeah, he was a last-minute recast in that, and I think that got him an agent, and now... The thing with James Acaster that's really interesting is, it's obvious that someone in a boardroom somewhere in Hollywood went... Who's that black guy that's a nerd that was in, Eyes Wide, eh? He's a nerd. We need an English nerd. Get me an English nerd.
Get him on the
nerd.
Phone. Yeah. Get Turns nerd. Out he's horrible. He's an horrible guy.
Yeah.
Who else is available?
Who else has got a nerdy
voice? He told us to fuck off.
Yeah. And I think what's ironic is James Acaster's comedy isn't that he's a nerd. He's quite an aggressive, weird person. But because his voice to an American sounds a bit nerdy, made him, and he looks a
just
bit
got an
nerdy.
English accent.
Yeah, they just made him this character as like he's the techie one in Winston's laboratory.
So did you enjoy it, Alex?
I'm kind of 100% with Chris here that I didn't love Afterlife. I thought it was okay. It wasn't as bad as I expected it to be. It's a bit saccharine and a bit maudlin and a bit... And ultimately, kind of what my problem with Ghostbusters 2 is a bit, is that really all these films should... After Ghostbusters, they then should have made more films. They shouldn't have waited. They should have just made the films then.
No.
And all this waiting...
That's not the lesson. The lesson is you should make Ghostbusters and fucking stop.
Step away from the camera.
Yeah. I think the waiting didn't help. And like I said, Afterlife was okay. It wasn't that bad. With this, I had such, basement level expectations. Yeah. It was the press screening, Odeon Leicester Square. We got free food and it was very nice. The director was there.
So you were primed to like it, basically, weren't you?
Yeah, and you know, they tried to batter us up, but you know what? I sat there, I was entertained. I thought there was some good ideas in it. I thought there was some good different ghosts in it. I agree
some
completely.
Some different designs of ghosts.
Well, no, there's some interesting little ghosts. The possessor thing I think is quite a good little idea.
What I'm getting from this, right, is that Chris is so disenchanted by modern cinema that his expectations are literally nothing, and it's slightly better than that. And you basically got bought out because someone bought you a big pile of fucking popcorn.
It wasn't just that. No, I agree with Chris. There's too many characters. Bill Murray does not want to be there. Bill Murray is so angry at being there.
Mumbles like three lines.
He's in so few scenes. It's kind of an embarrassment. Bill Murray's a bit of an embarrassment. Shame. I think Winston's it's great to see him actually have a bloody
and
Ernie
still
Hudson.
Looks like he did in the 90s.
Yeah, it's totally out of character though, because out of the lot of them, he would not be the one running the fucking lab.
Why not?
Because he was the hired help in the first film.
I know. Well, he's now made something of himself, which I'm glad to see.
You're happy
about
that?
Yeah, I am. Because bloody Ghostbusters.
Okay. Well, sorry for like trying to keep everyone in character.
No, but I just think Ghostbusters 2 sidelines him. Ghostbusters sidelines him. Two sidelines him. I was finally glad.
Because he's a fucking guy who came in off the street and they gave him a job.
Yeah, but he has a passion for it. He's got a passion for busting ghosts.
He's a good character, don't get me wrong.
I think Dan Aykroyd's doing a fine job. He's fine. He's
oh, is he in it as
he's
well?
He's in it enough. Yeah.
They're
he's
all in it.
Enough that he's good. I liked the... who's the guy that's like the fire master? I liked him. I thought that was a funny character. Do you remember him, the Asian guy? He's quite a...
he's good, the Silicon Valley guy.
Yeah, what is his
name? He's all right, he's doing the same shtick all the time.
Kumail Nanjiani. I like him. I thought he was a funny character.
He's doing the Rick Moranis sort of shit.
Yeah. It does retread a lot of ground. It is too long. I do agree there's some interesting ideas in there. But yeah, they're just... It's just, at this point, they're layering in so many characters that... it is a bit ridiculous. They need to lose.
They're still doing the puff,
Stay puffed. Yeah, no, I didn't like that.
It's like we had enough of that on the last one. They've run out of callbacks now.
Yeah.
They're redoing callbacks.
And I tell you something really interesting. So, you know, in Ghostbusters 2, that Slimer's in it, and there's Rick Moranis with Slimer, yeah? Mm. Originally in Ghostbusters 2, don't know if you already knew this, but there was supposed to be a whole plot line with Rick Moranis constantly trying to catch Slimer. And he's trying to prove himself as a Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
That is a genuine plot line in Frozen Empire, with the guy from Stranger Things meets Slimer and then spends the whole film trying to catch him. Yeah. So it's they've taken an undone bit from 2 and put it back in.
He has no arc, this character.
Yeah.
That's all he does. He does. Slimer in the background. Yet he's probably second biggest on the poster.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just seen the poster. It's pretty funny.
The whole thing is...
I saw a poster with Acaster on it the other day.
Yeah, he's definitely on the poster. That whole Slimer plotline is just they can do a gag in the end where Slimer pops up and he goes, I know him, like that. And that's all it's there for. And it's fine... But they need to jettison some characters. But yeah, I think there's some good stuff in there.
And, hang on, Walter Peck's in it, but he's the mayor.
Yeah.
God, they've really gone to town.
He's like, way too old to be in it
with
as well.
With the like references that no one cares about.
Yeah.
There's a lot of callbacks. But you know what? I was there, I came out and I thought, well, actually, the first Ghostbusters script isn't that tight.
I won't hear that. Ghostbusters is brilliant, immaculate. Yeah. That script's brilliant. That's a fantastic script.
No, some of the jokes die on their ass because it's like it's not super tight. It really isn't.
You need to cite sources for this. Give me examples of this. The first Ghostbusters.
Tell me a joke that isn't tight.
Tell me a bit of Ghostbusters doesn't work. I think it all works.
Okay, well. Basically,
just to remind you, we're doing Ghostbusters 2 today, not 1. So.
Yes, we are. Okay, let's get back onto Ghostbusters 2, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is a lot of things similar to the new film.
Yeah.
An old deity coming back to life.
Okay. So Ghostbusters 2, they tried to make it immediately after Ghostbusters 1, but
they should have made it.
The head of Columbia pissed off Bill Murray because he called him like some sort of like. You said he just does nothing, basically.
An actor who makes millions off movies but gives nothing back to his art.
Yeah. So
I like Bill Murray, but how ironic, because that is kind of what he is now.
Yeah. So Bill Murray walks out.
He doesn't owe anyone shit.
No.
Right?
No. So anyway, a new head of Columbia came in, and their priority was, first thing we're doing is making a new Ghostbusters film. So they got the gang back together, they wrote a script, everyone signed off on it, and then they started making it and changed loads of things about it and pissed everybody off.
Yeah.
And that's Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
And the other thing that happened was, like between Back to the Future 1 and Back to the Future 2, is that computer visual effects, CGI, had bubbled up.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, Ghostbusters 1, we've got a lot of puppetry going on.
Yeah.
And 2, they're like, we're going to have rivers of slime, and it's a lot of CG and stuff.
The other thing that happened was that the real Ghostbusters was an insane hit.
Yes.
And people absolutely loved it. And it had been running for like a billion episodes.
Yeah.
And their audience had gone from a very adult audience, which is Ghostbusters fundamentally, to a much younger audience, which is the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And which is completely different.
And when they were writing this one, they had that forefront of their mind, didn't they? They like basically rewrote the characters to tone them down for a child audience.
Well, they even changed how Janine looks to make her look more like the cartoon, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And put Slimer in it more because he's so popular.
I never realised that.
Yeah, that's mad. Like, that's mad. And they can't smoke. They don't smoke as much as in this because it's aimed at kids more. I mean, I would say, though, all of that said, it's not as child-friendly as I thought it was going to be. I remember it being much more child-friendly than it is. Ghostbusters 2. I'm not saying it's not... I'm not saying it's not pandering. I'm just saying it isn't a kids' film.
I agree, it's not like
Frozen Empire or Afterlife.
No, I think unless you read about that thing happening, well, like Chris didn't know it. I don't think it's obvious that's what they were doing unless you know about it. When you know about it, you're like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
tonally, it's definitely lost like the bite of Ghostbusters. The thing about Ghostbusters is that it's like. It is an adult film about a stupid childish subject of ghosts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's just I don't know, it's like a proper film. Ghostbusters 2 isn't that. For better or worse.
Ghostbusters 2 is a mess.
It is a mess, yeah. Really. It is a mess.
Yeah.
So it opens with Sigourney Weaver. Everyone's back. Everyone's back. Except Walter Peck. He's not back.
No.
Is he?
No.
Which is a shame.
No.
Well, he'll have his
I like
time
this guy, though.
Yes. You like who, sorry?
I like the new dude. Kurt, what's he called?
I've got the bloody ghost. With
Kurt Fuller, who's Kurt the Fuller. Yeah, yeah. I like him. I think he's funny. He's pretty much the same, isn't he?
Oh right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about
No, he's the kind of nasty council guy. I like him.
Yeah.
So Sigourney Weaver's back, she's got a kid, not Venkman's kid.
Oh.
And we open with a scene of a baby carriage running away in the traffic. Which as a child, a lot of this scared me quite a lot. That scared me. The face, obviously, terrifying coming out of the picture.
Yep.
You know, the baby on the balcony? That really scared me. Despite the fact, I guess I wasn't actually a baby, but for some reason I had empathy with this baby and the situation he was in. But do you remember this being a scary film as a kid? Were you scared by it?
Yeah, quite scary. Yeah, the face coming out of the painting, definitely.
That River of Slime, scary.
The slime!
I love the setup anyway at the start of this film, that the Ghostbusters are like on hard times because there's no more ghosts.
Yes. Well,
kids parties.
Yeah.
See, now this is an interesting thing, isn't it?
Okay.
So, have you seen Afterlife or not, Sam?
Well, about 10 minutes, not properly.
Okay, but in Afterlife, there's this whole big thing that they go, oh yeah, ghosts. Oh yeah, the Ghostbusters. Oh yeah, that happened. Oh, I thought that was just a fake video, and like there's this weird, they try, don't they, Chris, they try to kind of say that no one really believes in ghosts because they kind of thought all that stuff the Ghostbusters did really wasn't real because the internet age. But it's weird because they're already seeding that in Ghostbusters 2, because they just kind of, it's almost like everyone's completely forgotten about.
See, but I like Ghostbusters 2 the way it's like a cynical thing of like,
yeah,
the election cycle's moved on. Ghosts are last year's thing. They're not around anymore, so they just don't exist.
I do believe it, and I do think it's a better setup than them being heroes. I like the fall. Ultimately, in this kind of film, the fall from grace would normally happen halfway through. The fall from grace has already happened at the beginning. I like the idea they were sued by all these people, that everyone's kind of disbanded. They're mates, but they've disbanded, that they're doing, you know, Ray and Winston are doing shitty kids' parties and getting called, that say they're told they're full of crap. I like the idea, but I think I do always have a problem with the fact that surely once you've proved ghosts exist, you've proved ghosts exist. That's kind of it, isn't it?
I guess.
Question, yeah. Right? The world nearly got destroyed because the Ghostbusters got all the ghosts and put them in one place, right?
Yeah.
So if the Ghostbusters didn't exist, ghosts are just doing their normal shit like they always have done.
Mm.
We'd be all right.
No, because Zool was bringing them all into New York, wasn't he? Before that, like the Ghostbusters catch them when they get released, but it's actually the coming back of Zool, and in that apartment block, that's actually the cause.
Is it so? Is it coincidence? Is it that there are more ghosts in Ghostbusters in the first film?
Yeah.
There are more ghosts, and that's why these guys are looking into them because of Zool.
Yeah.
So there weren't really ghosts before.
No, because that's what they keep saying. Like at the start of the film, they're burnt out and they've got no funding and stuff because there's no ghosts around. Then ghosts start appearing.
Right. So would they then have gone bust? So they've gone bust again
because they've all gone again.
There are no ghosts again.
Yeah.
It's only the slime and Vigo that's brought the ghosts back. So they kind of, so ironically, the Ghostbusters need a giant evil thing to create ghosts for them to have any work.
Pretty much, yeah.
So the third film, it should have been them, one of them going mad, maybe Egon goes mad, tries to bring ghosts back to get them some work. That should have been the third film.
Mm. There shouldn't have been a third film, that's the truth.
Damn it, they should!
But anyway, it's nice, anyway. I like the fact they've spread, like, Dan Aykroyd's got his occult bookshop, which is very nice.
I like that.
Yeah.
Egon's working...
That's in the new film.
Yeah, it's in the new film. Yeah.
Egon's working in a lab... his hair's gone insane, even more than it was in the first one.
Yeah.
I like the line, you know, when like he's doing some experiments, and he takes the puppy. Yeah, take the puppy away. That's a good line. Yeah. I will say though, Egon, they lean too much. I don't know. They get the characters a bit off. I think in this film, a lot of them bit later on we'll get to that. Yeah. They do imply though that he's having sex with a piece of slime, don't they, at one point, which is a very Ghostbusters one sort of joke. And Venkman is on as well, a psychic TV program.
I love that program.
That's so good, isn't it? It's really well done.
That's brilliant.
It's so good.
Yeah. I love the end of it when he signs off and he's like, you know, like, until next week, and he does that weird, like,
See you then.
That's great. And very believable. I think they've all gone in believable directions, haven't they?
And Bill Murray is engaged in this film, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
He is, yeah.
And then, yes, so Sigourney Weaver's character, who is taking a break from her orchestral career, because she's raising a child, to work as a restoring painting.
Art restorer.
Like, what? That's not like a Saturday job you go and get, is it?
I don't know. They might have done some sort of early crowdsourcing, whatever they call it, to get...
I'm pretty sure you work
anyone out there who's not a complete idiot want to come and help fix these paintings?
Maybe she's just rich.
Have you ever
she's
watched Fake like... or Fortune?
No.
Oh, that's great. They, like, restore old painting stuff. And the guys on that have been doing it, like, they've trained for decades to touch anything like that.
Yeah, but... maybe she's just rich. She's got all this like orchestra money, and she's just like, you know what? I'm just going to do some.
Yana's fancy her as well. That's a key factor.
That's true.
She would get the job.
Yeah.
Also, she's got no defined finishing time. She just like walks out when she likes. Also, she didn't. Yeah. Really,
Yana's just giving her free roam.
Yeah.
You've got to factor in Yana's into this.
I'm down with all this. I agree with all this.
I think this is lazy writing, which is symptomatic of the whole film to mess.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, she's working there, Janosch is there, and they've got this painting of this dude. You know, that's actually a photograph.
It's amazing. I love that.
And it's hanging in ILM, apparently. They've still got it on the wall.
I've seen it. Oh, no, I've seen the other one, you know, at the end, where it's with them.
Oh, there, yeah. Okay. Where's that
I've
one?
I've seen that one. That's in Sony Studios. I've seen that
That guy has got a terrifying face, hasn't he?
Have you read... I got quite sidelined reading his Wikipedia page. He's had a pretty mucked up life.
I did read that he went to the premiere, sat down, and found out that Max von Sydow had dubbed all his lines and stormed back out again, which I think is pretty brilliant.
that's definitely true. His dad was a Nazi, but said he wasn't really a Nazi.
They all said that, but they fucking were.
Yeah, exactly. So, because he's called Wilhelm von Homburg, but he took the name Norbert Group. His real name's Norbert Group.
Right.
Norbert Group. But he changed his name to Wilhelm von Homburg because he thought his surname sounded too much like groupie. So he changed his name to Wilhelm von Homburg. He was a wrestler. He was a wrestler. And he would basically be like, he would like wear, like he'd have really long hair and be really flamboyant and just be...
Boxer.
No, he was a wrestler and then he was a boxer. He sometimes wore a monocle and a German eagle. He would later regret using it in Hollywood, saying, "In an industry that was ruled by the Jews, it was really dumb to call myself von Homburg." Who do you think that is? a Nazi nobleman?
For an audition dressed as a Nazi.
Cosplaying as a Nazi. And his dad was a Nazi.
Yep.
But not a Nazi.
Him and his dad were wrestlers. Then he became a boxer. He was basically associated through the 70s. He retired from boxing in the 70s. He had associations with the Hells Angels, did a lot of drugs and alcohol. Then he became an actor.
Said he actually worked in a concentration camp here.
Yeah, the dad did, yeah. Then he became an actor. Werner Herzog commented, "The prince was so clear and intelligent and radiated. At the same time, a feeling of danger that absolutely terrified me. He was almost like a German Mike Tyson," he said. Sadly, von Homburg spent the last years of his life effectively homeless, alternating between sleeping at a YMCA, in the homes of friends, or in his van. He developed prostate cancer, and following its metastasis to his pelvis, spine, and brain, he went to the home of his friend Walter Sordinger, where he spent his final days. So he just died, basically.
Do you know the other actor in this film with a tragic end?
Who?
One of the twins who played the baby killed himself at 29.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Well,
the other one, I don't know. I presume still alive.
He's okay.
R.I.P. One baby.
Yeah, but I mean, this—it might not be this guy's voice, but he's got an amazing look.
Those ones had dodgy names too.
Yeah,
William T. Deutschendorf, Hank J. Deutschendorf II. with the two babies.
He does look great, but he wouldn't be as intimidating without Max von Sydow's voice, would he? I don't know how he talked, but he couldn't have that.
No. No, it's the perfect voice.
So, yeah, a lot of the start of this film, or a lot of the film overall, really, is Sigourney Weaver and Bill Murray go on dates and the baby lying around. Like, that's a lot of the film.
There's too much, like, montage of catching ghosts in this one. You know, when they come
you
back.
You do get two big montages, don't you? Yeah,
but that, yeah. We'll get to the montage. The baby bits, I like the bits, you know, when Aykroyd and, what's his name, Ramis, are doing the experiments on the baby, and they're like, baby's ticklish, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nice business. Yeah. But if that was that for the baby, it'd be cool. But it's not, is it? You know,
there's a lot of baby stuff.
Every character sees the baby.
Didn't they realise there was too much stuff with them and have to go back and do loads of reshoots?
They did change a lot, yeah.
To add more peril, because they realised it was too much of basically a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, because
probably the same era as The Three Men and the Baby.
So. I think it's literally the same year, isn't it?
Yeah. Because so when we did Ghostbusters, didn't we have a big thing about how, like, Peter Venkman's a bit toxic, it's a bit of a weird...
We were called out for our appreciation of him, yeah.
Support of him.
Yeah. So, but I would... again, maybe I'm wrong in saying this. Film. But I do think that... Yeah. But maybe I'm
not
wrong
fucking
in saying
voting
this.
For him.
No, but maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but I do think Sigourney Weaver's character and her presence as an actress, it counterbalances. Because all the way through, he's just wisecracking. He's making kind of slimy comments. He's being a bit of a douche, but it's funny.
Hold on.
What?
He's not behaving really badly.
No, he's not. He's a comedian.
Saving the world. He's not hitting women.
No, but I'm just saying.
He's just a bit of a jerk, and everyone in the world says he's a jerk.
Everyone hates him in the film.
I'm supporting him, and I'm saying that I think, I think it's to Sigourney Weaver's credit that she, I think it's balanced out. She doesn't just fall for all this. She gives as good as she gets, doesn't she? She's dumped him. She's had a relationship with another man. She's had a baby.
I think in the first film she does. I think in this film she starts... I think she's got less of that bite and is more just like, oh, isn't Bill Murray great? Don't you think?
He's good with the baby.
He is good with the baby. And also, if you think about the fact that, you know, the father of the baby is that guy with the runny nose in the first film.
Yeah.
And she says, like, oh, we got an offer to work in Orchestra in London. Just fucked off. Like,
he's the one who's fucked up.
He's
the one who hasn't saved the world.
He's the
one who isn't funny guy.
Yeah, he's way worse. Yeah.
No, I think it's... I'm saying
he's
I think
not comparable.
It's, yeah, I think what I'm... I guess what I'm not... I'm not... I'm just saying I think... There's credit to Sigourney Weaver in this because I think she's
really good in it again.
She's
really good
in it, and she's very naturalistic and I think good chemistry. I think there's a good chemistry.
The thing that this film for me, right, there are some really really good scenes, and there's some good bits in it. I think they've just lost who the characters are a bit, like, and they've got lost in this story of him and her getting back together. I just doesn't work for me.
Maybe
one bit that does work is when they go down to the sewer. I love all the stuff with. Bill Murray doing like the fake New York, like, you know.
Work. Do you know what my biggest memory of this film? You know that bit where Ray goes down. That was the first level of the ZX Spectrum game.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it took so long to load, and I died so quickly.
Yeah, is it possible that game?
I was haunted. Yeah, I was haunted. Yeah. I was watching videos to see what the next level was. Everyone was doing
so funny. That's my first memory as well.
Because
they were being really impressed by the way the rope swung.
Yeah,
it looked really cool at the time, didn't it?
But it was so difficult.
It was,
and I love the way that in this film, it's like about once. It's not even really a thing, isn't it? He goes down and then he's like, "Oh, look, slime!" Like that.
So, do you know about the real version of this subway? This thing's a real thing.
Is it?
So, this pneumatic subway was built in 1870 by a man called Alfred Beach. It operated using compressed air and was built as a demonstration of pneumatic transit system. He had no approval of anyone in government to build it. He just did it on his own back.
How?
Easy chairs, statues and a goldfish pond. It was shut down after 3 years due to lack of any official or financial support.
Oh my God.
He built one station.
Have you seen a photo of it?
Yeah.
It's bonkers.
Yeah, because in 1912, when they put the real subway down, they went down there and they found it. And they were like, oh shit, like...
And then did they just track? Is it not there anymore?
No, they put the real track over it then. So it didn't exist.
It's a bonkers idea. It's like there's the coach.
Yeah.
And they literally just blow it along the tunnel, like, for pressure behind. Yeah. It's a bit like the bloody Elon Musk one.
Yeah. I love the idea the guy just did it. brilliant. He's
that's
a fan.
What's great about America?
Yeah.
Do what you want.
But yeah, so it wouldn't have been there when the Ghostbusters went there. So, but
I mean, you can't do that now. Okay. You need
a permit.
Three forms in triplicate to wipe your ass in America these days.
Yeah. It's good stuff, though. It's building nice at this point, I think. Building nicely. They go back to Janosch, and he gets hit by the lightning thing, and the painting comes
out. I like Janosch. I think he's a great character. It's a good character. He's funny.
He's having fun.
Yeah, he's having fun.
He's also used sparingly, isn't he? He'd be annoying if he was in it any much more.
Listen, if you come on to a Bill Murray film, there's only two ways you can go, right? Mm. And I think he's chosen the right path.
Yeah.
He's gone big.
Yeah, yeah. Like Rick Moranis does. Rick Moranis goes big, and that's why Rick Moranis is still very funny within this, because he's just so over the top.
Yeah. I like when they're babysitting, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's great.
You know what? I do think this one's funnier than the first one.
It's got some funny bits. It's got some great. It's got some good lines. It's got some really
good lines. There are some good lines, but it's nowhere near as funny as the first film. But what is funny is the next bit when they go to court after they got caught on the road, and
great
scene. Rick Moranis is the lawyer.
Yeah. I just watch that scene now and about.
And he's just doing some great business, isn't he, really? Great business. Him and Murray.
The judge. The judge is that. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, judge is great.
The judge. He goes...
Yeah.
Well, he's like, we're at the... Burnt at the stake!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he says, Rick Morris is like, sure, the blackout was a big problem for everyone. I was trapped in an elevator for 2 hours, and I had to make the whole time, but I didn't believe, but I don't blame them, because one time I turned into a dog and they helped me.
Yeah. It's brilliant. And the little pause after that as well. That's great. Yeah.
He's so good.
Yeah.
That was my little choice for quote.
He's got such great physicality, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Rick Moranis.
Well, you can tell they're all like that Saturday Night Live set, aren't they? Like, they're so good. Yeah. When him, Ramis, Aykroyd and Murray aren't seeing together, they're so... The timing is like that, isn't it? It's so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, the ghost turns up, so the ghosts are back. That's the big thing. We get a montage, you say they're back in business.
Yeah.
Did you notice the other suits in this? They're wearing dark suits.
Yeah.
And so they filmed... Though they changed the suits, and this film they're meant to be in those suits all the way through.
Oh.
And then Ivan Reitman decided, no, I hate those suits, and so went back and filmed a load of it with the old suits again.
Really?
So those montage shots are from bits of the film they cut out, deleted scenes where they had.
Oh, God.
Because they just came back with new suits basically when they came back in the film, and they had to refilm loads of it.
I do like how they might have a different suit for different types of job.
Yeah, I quite like the new suit. I like the dark suit.
Yeah. Do you know that in the real, Ghostbusters, you know how they all wear different colour?
Oh yes. Yeah.
So they each character has a different coloured suit on,
different
right?
The shade, isn't it?
Yeah. The reason of that is that there's this episode where you see that they come back covered in slime from I think it's the slime from this or it's slime, and they're like, oh Peter, you need to wash these our outfits. And Peter doesn't do it, so the suits become possessed and attack them, and they have to basically like kill the suits, and that's why they end up with new suits that are all different colours.
Right,
there you go.
Thank you for the explanation.
Yeah,
deep Ghostbusters lore.
The real Ghostbusters isn't that bad actually. It wasn't a bad cartoon. It was pretty good. Like it's a lot scarier than you.
The only thing I remember about it is the end, and they're walking down the street like this, a ticker tape parade going off.
That's the only thing I remember.
This film has got too many bad rap songs. There's about five, aren't there?
Well, I can't remember what bit it is. There's a bit where they're talking and then suddenly it's like that Bobby Brown song just gets turned up really loudly over them.
Yeah.
And it's really odd because it's really obvious that they've obviously just gone, right, we need this song to be a hit. So put that in.
There's so many, aren't there?
And then did you see he cameos, Bobby Brown's in it later when they go to the mayor's house?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, when they go to the mayor's house, it's Bobby Brown who's like, oh, could I get one of those proton packs for my kid brother?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They say no. Yeah. In the DVD commentary, when Harold Ramis is talking about it, he goes, oh, yeah, and MC Hammer did a song for us, and MC Hammer's in the film. And one of the producers is like, it's Bobby Brown. I think you might be misremembering. But yeah, there's the weird Run DMC song as well.
Yeah, like the raps are just terrible. They're all just like explaining the plot very slowly, aren't they? They're terrible.
State of music at this era was...
It's not great.
Yeah, and they were obviously desperate to have something as big
as... Oh, yeah, they're really trying, aren't they, to find that next hit. You know that montage? the great bit of comedy game of Moranis, you know that door in the door when he goes through the, there's a door inside the big door and he pushes the door in, goes through it and he comes back round on himself? Do you remember that bit?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, he's like trying to get into the building. He goes, just like a bit of like Charlie Chaplin sort of stuff, but it's really, he's really good at it. It's a shame we didn't get more Moranis, isn't it?
Yeah. But at least you got some Moranis, because he's never in it again after this.
I was supportive of him putting on a proton pack and wanting to be a Ghostbuster.
You were? I see. Because he's a man, no doubt.
Yeah. A short man.
There's the Bassmaster's line. Yeah, I like you. I like Bassmaster. Do you know Bassmasters? Yeah, I know Bassmasters. It's good stuff. Yeah. They go to see Vigo. The film really slows down. They're like, they're at dinner for ages, aren't they? And like, Rick Moranis is round for lunch and stuff, babysitting.
Yeah, there is too much of the romance. You get it. You don't need this much.
Yeah, and they just keep going back to like the art museum, and it really just seems to just stop for ages. This film does.
You know the bit when the slime in the bath attacks Sigourney Weaving the baby, and she takes her top off.
Yeah.
I've read that was never in the script, that she took her top off, and no one really knows if it was her idea or Ivan Reitman's idea for that to happen.
I'm going to guess whose idea it was.
Yeah, probably, yeah. It's kind of odd, though, isn't it? It does feel like...
Take off your top, Sigourney!
It's a bit of an odd... it's an odd moment. I mean, it works.
It is a really odd moment. Yeah, it's so gratuitous.
Yeah. Yeah,
that slime,
especially because how phallic, the kind of slimy...
It is, and then it kind of goes into like a kind of a...
little mouth.
Yeah,
it's really weird. Yeah, it's really weird.
I quite like that bath when it's like
puppet
of a bath. I mean,
I like that it's pink slime. They made a good a good choice there with the pink slime.
You know the other bit that's probably the scariest bit in the film, actually, is, you know, when they're doing the pictures of Vigo, and then room just starts going up in flames inside. That's really
that was added afterwards. That was an add-in, when they thought there wasn't enough peril.
Well, that would make sense, because like that's at the end of, so I've just been skipping through it, and there's 20 minutes between the montage and them going down into the slime where really you don't really need it at all, and it's a shame.
Yeah, that was added in, and the bits, you know, all the heads on the sticks, that was added in as well in the tunnel.
Which the tunnel's good, because you get to see a bit of Winston, and he's really good, I think, isn't he? When they let him actually act,
I feel like he was...
He's great. Yeah.
He's really overlooked again. It's a shame. Yeah. In the first film, it's not his fault, because he's not actually in it until later.
Yeah, it at least made sense in the first film. In this one, you're like, where's Winston? Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd. I think they should have given him more to do and... Yeah.
Or you should have like a B plot maybe, or something else going on with him that was something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's the one who's pushing to get the Ghostbusters back. They've all got their thing, but because he was the recruit, he was the last in, he's actually the one who cares more about it because that is his main job. I don't know. Just something.
Yeah, just something to do. Yeah.
I mean, Sigourney Weaver was like top shit back then, wasn't she? Like, she's doing Alien.
Yeah.
Dave.
She's great.
Isn't that around this time, Dave?
Maybe.
Well, Alien 3 was she made just after this. So, yeah, peak of her career, some might say.
I like that line when it all goes to shit and the Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, better late than never. Better late.
Yeah.
That was the port it was due to arrive into.
Oh, really?
And there's something else, Carpathia, which is the name of his made-up world.
Oh, it was the ship,
Yeah, that's the Titanic reference as well. Yeah.
I like when the woman's, like, fur coat.
Yeah, that's a good one.
A gag from the first film that was cut from the first film. They were going to have a catwalk in the first film, and the woman on the catwalk would have been attacked by
Fantastic.
No, that's good. I like all that. So that's all practical effects. That silly one in the archway is a bit rubbish, but you had that in the original one. You had some weird...
Yeah, my problem's not with CG. It's just... Well, the problem really with the effects is this finale, which I think is just stupid. Like, this...
Yeah, okay. Where are we at now?
So we're back in. They've worked out that everyone is getting angry because of the slime. They've gone into the slime and come back out, and it's like a mood slime, which is just such a stupid idea anyway. I think it's rubbish. And then they're like...
Yeah.
I'd like the bit, though, when they're like, New York's just horrible.
Yeah.
And the mayor's like, everyone's got a right to be horrible.
Yeah.
Which is a very New York sort of thing.
be an asshole.
Like, this New York is more believable than Spider-Man New York, where everyone's friendly and nice. Like,
yeah, that's
they're
true.
Not.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
horrible.
yeah.
And they get committed, all the Ghostbusters get committed, and Bill Murray's brother's there, he's the
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
But then they have to come out and fix it. And they're, I just, so their solution is they're going to go and get the Statue of Liberty, because she's an icon of hope and oh, yeah. great American values. And like, for one, when they come up with that idea, they all stand around in a circle and all come to that idea separately. That's never going to happen. You could have 50 people in that circle and not one person might come yeah, with it. Not okay. a second.
They'll buy the number plate, though.
Yeah.
They zoom on that afterwards, the number plate. They weren't all just staring at the number plate, were they? It's stupid.
Do you think that someone... Because I think that what I read was the idea of the slime and the mood thing was always... That was always there. That was always their idea. They thought that was a good idea. It was kind of showing about negativity and how and all that kind of stuff. Do you think the giant Statue of Liberty, they were just like... Yeah, well, we had Stave Puff, totally. And he was big. We need a big thing.
And the yeah. mood thing is, yeah. I think that's the real Ghostbusters bit of like, it's a children's lesson of like, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Bad moods bring you down, man, and everyone's got to be nice yeah. to each other. It's just so yeah. lame. And, yeah. and also, to make matters worse, right? So they go to Statue of Liberty and they're like, oh, we need to get energised. What does the slime like? It likes Jackie Wilson's Your Love's yeah. Lifting Me Higher. But they play some yeah. terrible version. That's not the real version.
Yeah,
well.
That's weird. That is quite weird. Yeah.
It's just so... I don't know.
Do you know what the first draft, Aykroyd's first draft was?
They're in Scotland, weren't they?
Yes. So it was
underground in
Dana
Scotland.
Dana Barrett is kidnapped and taken to Scotland, where yeah. she just has a fairy ring and an underground civilization. The Ghostbusters would have to travel through an underground pneumatic tube over 2,000 miles long that would have taken them 3 days to traverse.
I love it.
What, under the Atlantic Ocean?
Yeah, yeah. yeah to Scotland, yeah.
I love Aykroyd's ridiculous... Because yeah. the first draft of Ghostbusters 1 was like, they're literally in hell, aren't they, for half the film?
Yeah, that yeah, that, first. Yeah. He described,
it's just insane.
He described the first draft as really too far out, too inaccessible.
Yeah.
yeah.
Would be more fun. I don't know. Do you like the Statue of Liberty? You both, Chris, you a fan of the Statue of Liberty bit?
Well, they've got to do something, haven't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. It's just so lame. I do agree the climax isn't great. I do
like the car. They couldn't use the car to get to the ghost at the end. They had to use the...
Mm. It's all right. I don't mind the Statue of Liberty. I don't mind the positive slime. I like they've got different packs on. I don't mind it, but I don't... But I don't.
The car's got too many lights on, hasn't it, on this one?
Yeah, they've got yeah. that. We're back scrolling along the top, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And it's funny how they've changed their logo to have the two.
Oh, I hate that new logo.
Which doesn't make any sense. Well,
it's a peace sign, isn't it? So they could just go like, peace, we're back, couldn't they?
Oh, okay. I did think of that. Yeah. That's. Yeah,
but then again, I don't like that. There's a. That it's
No. The climax. I like Viggo. I like Janusz. I get that he's got to get the baby and that the trade is Dana, and I get all that. I think that's fine. I don't mind the slime, but it doesn't feel like a big enough pay. Like, the end is anticlimactic. It doesn't really work, the end.
It's just boring. And, like, Skimmer is, like, wrapped up in, like, a plastic tube or something. It's really...
Yeah.
Just feels really half-assed.
I like when Janusz is, like, pushing the pram. To get the baby.
Oh, yeah, that's quite cool.
He's dressed up as like an old woman.
Yeah.
Mental.
Yeah, no, the climax doesn't really work. I guess it does feel a bit too... Yeah, like, yeah, what's the... Yeah, the message is just...
It just feels
nice.
The end of a cartoon, I think.
Be nice to each other and then it will all be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Although there is that good bit when they get the positive slime and Janusz is like, I love you, man.
Oh, yeah. That's
That's why. Yeah. That's the end of it. Oh, is that cool? As Chris said, the poster he saw, they've been put back in the poster.
Yeah. And then there's a weird... The credits seem to be outtakes of the cast, and then you see them getting, like, the key to the city to prove that the Statue of Liberty's got back.
Yeah.
And they get the kind of key to the city.
That's they obviously filmed an awful lot of this film, didn't they, and just threw it all away. Because the montages are full of deleted scenes. This ending's full of deleted scenes. We know they changed suits, so there must be an awful lot of it that was not...
Yeah, I think there was an awful lot of reshoots.
Yeah. Also, is that bit when everyone outside starts singing all positively? Oh, yeah. It's so gross.
Following the test screening, the principal crew realised there was numerous issues with the film. Reitman said that upon watching the test version, he realised the final 25 minutes of the film just died a horrible death. He spent 4 days filming a new 25-minute end to replace it. And then they then did more reshoots to put all that exciting stuff in. But all of that, basically, this is the interesting element to this. All of the reshoots and everything meant that it came out when Batman came out, didn't it?
Mm.
And then it flopped, and they were all like, oh, our film's just too positive. People don't want stuff like that. Like, it's kind of like, I think they were saying that our film belongs to an older time and that these modern darker, you know, the kind of Tim Burton aesthetic, which then rose up. They think they suffered from a change in the tide of viewing. I don't know. I mean, I think that's maybe just a bit of a... They're maybe just trying to make an excuse for it being a bit of a mess.
I can see that... That a film that is aesthetically exactly the same as a film 5 years ago would feel old when faced with Batman, wouldn't it? Because Batman is quite an arresting visual language that hadn't really been seen before on film.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can get that.
Yeah, and also you can't make a film and then make loads more of it and put it back in and expect it to be a complete thing.
Yeah,
because
tell him that now.
And also, like, where are the It's famous for being a kids' film at this point, isn't it? So I guess that original audience has probably moved on.
Yeah,
you know, they're 5 years older, but also it's for kids now, isn't it? You know, like perhaps they'd move on.
Yeah, maybe.
That I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't know it was a flop. I never knew that it was a flop.
I think it was. I don't think it was really bad, but I don't think it did commercially.
Let's have a look. Box office 215.
Well, they would have made more, wouldn't they?
That's true. At that time. Mm. That's true. Oh yes, it made like. Yeah, it made $75 million less than the first one 5 years later.
The Bobby Brown song from it was at the number one for 20 weeks, I think.
Was it really?
I think
so. Is that true?
Let me look up. I've definitely written it in.
Not number one, but in the charts 20 weeks. Yeah.
Do you ever realise how much the receptionist changed her look between
the that's weird.
Oh,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Bonkers, isn't it? Yeah, 20 weeks in the music charts for the Bobby Brown song.
So that's Ghostbusters 2. I'm going to say it's all right. It's no near as good as the first one. Are you more positive on it, Alex?
Do you know what? Especially having watched Frozen Empire, I was ready to go into this and be like, oh, this is where it all went wrong. This is why they've all gone this way to be children's films, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? It wasn't as bad as I remembered it being. And I can see all the problems with it. And it makes more sense when you read about it. But ultimately, I enjoyed being with those characters again. I liked being back in that world. It is the better version of the Ghostbusters than the other iterations we have seen.
Yeah, but not that counts, is it?
But
nothing after it exists, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they're saying it. Well, it should, but I agree with you. Right. Yeah. But do you know what? It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, and I did enjoy it. And there's bits I really liked in it. There's really good performances in it, and I was like, you know what, this isn't as good, but it's not bad. And I it was better than I thought it was going to be. It's way better than I remembered.
You still a Ghostbusters 2 fan, or?
Yeah, I like it. It's I think it's got a lot more like little gags in it, and it is more the gags are coming at you more. Than the first one, I think.
Yeah.
The first one does seem a little bit flabby for me.
It's funny, isn't it?
What the
and,
fuck?
The newer ones, you know, I don't think they're like a huge, like throwing the old ones in the bin. I don't think they really are. I even like the one with the women.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, at least that was trying something different.
The thing for these first two is that, like, as a kid, I used to watch them both all the time and know them back to back. But there's definitely a point in life where I didn't watch Ghostbusters 2 anymore, but I still watch Ghostbusters. Like, it's something about Ghostbusters. It's a proper, as I say, it's a proper film. Well, that doesn't mean much, but like, whereas this is just like, there's nostalgia there and stuff. And yeah, it's more Ghostbusters, sequel. But it is a sequel. It's just not as. Yeah.
It doesn't really, I guess it doesn't take the characters anywhere. It doesn't take the world anywhere. It is just kind of like,
but does it, oh,
they,
does it
they
need
were
to, like,
set back and now they've got back to where they were in the end of the first film, I
yeah,
guess.
It is just a big dumb sequel. It's just that the first one is so refreshing and so weird in that sense of, like, it's a blockbuster. It's not really a blockbuster. It's, like, got very sort of, like, alternative comedy sort of, you know, those SNL roots about the way they act and the way they talk and things like that, but it's also a big, stupid ghost film.
It's not the same.
Right, let's rank it. Science.
Well, not really. I mean, they've got more gadgets and stuff. It's the first
gadgets.
It's the first time they actually call them proton packs in this.
That's true, they are literally scientists.
They are scientists. There is some science. I guess so, some science. They do some research. They
Egon's
do some tests.
I think the science is, what, a six? Sounds like a six to me.
Yeah, okay.
Craft.
It's not bad. It's just more of the same, really, I guess.
I don't like how they've, like, visually developed the first film. Like I just said, they made it more like the cartoon. They've added a load of shit on the car, which it doesn't need.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the same. It's not really...
It is,
not
it is mostly the same, isn't it? Yeah. It's the greatest hits, isn't it?
But,
but it is still quite good, though. That stuff, like, the, you know, Ecto-1 is cool. Their proton packs are cool.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I saw the new one in Dolby Atmos, and that was ace. The sound was really ace. That's the new one.
Six again, a seven?
A yeah, six or a seven.
Six again. Art.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I forgot to mention the score is awful for this film.
Yes, yes. The music's
the
all over the place.
When, like, it, like, Bill Murray's, like, talking to Sigourney Weaver, and he's, like, doing, like, a joke, and then he does, like, a heartfelt bit. And the score, like, follows me. It's like going like, and then it's like,
it's like a kind of
Seinfeld.
Yeah, it is like a sitcom. Yeah, no, the score is terrible.
It's rubbish, yeah.
But there's some good ghosts, and there's some good...
It's like a five, it's fine.
Yeah, okay, it's a five.
There's nothing
much
gone. Significance.
I mean, it's Ghostbusters.
It's still around. It is Ghostbusters.
Well, it ended the franchise
for a
while.
It did end the franchise.
Yeah, but the slime and the walking Statue of Liberty and...
I mean, yeah, like, the toys continued to be made, didn't they, throughout the 90s, like, based on this film and stuff.
I had the amazing Easter egg.
The Ghostbusters one.
Easter egg one.
Really?
Nice.
So good.
Did you have the proton pack? Was that Andrew Taylor?
I didn't.
Was Andrew Taylor at that?
No, Pumphrey had all the shit.
It lit up and everything. It was amazing.
Wow.
He had the firehouse and all that.
Six.
Yeah.
It's Ghostbusters, isn't it? But it's...
Yeah.
Not first franchise. Blah, blah, blah. Right, let's tilt. Get out my tilt box, Chris. You're in my box. let's tilt. 3, 2, 1, tilt. It's 6 and a 6 for me and Chris, and a 7 from Alex, which gives us a 0.583. We haven't got Ghostbusters 1 in the list, have we? Because that's a...
Have we?
That's an old one. It was really high up, wasn't it, in the old list?
Yeah, we
and
need
it
to
should be because it's
pretty
brilliant.
Yeah, we need to bring it back then.
So Ghostbusters 2 comes in at number 29, below The Martian and above Ex Machina.
Oh, I kind of think it's better than both of those, but I mean, it's below Back to the Future. Whatever.
It's definitely better than The Martian. Jesus. Anyway.
It's weird because my choice when I went to see Frozen Empire was actually they were re-showing Ex Machina.
Oh, that is weird.
And I chose the new Ghostbusters over that.
Well, the list shows you're right, though. This is one better than Ex Machina, so you were right to do it.
Well, it's the new film, though. It was the new new one. The Frozen
Right. Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, you fucked up. Right. Next week, it is going to be... Well, it was Alex's birthday. Happy belated birthday, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you get anything nice?
Thank you. Books, a lot of books, beer, books and beer, basically. That was
nice.
Yeah.
All the bees.
Yeah, that's what you want, isn't it?
And that means that the tradition on the podcast is that if you're a birthday boy, you get to do a birthday pick of film. Alex, what have you picked for next week's film?
I have picked Jean-Claude Van Damme's Cyborg. I've never seen it. I want to see it. Brilliant. We talked about it before.
The quintessential Alex pick.
Yeah, Chris, it's going to be
left.
It's going to be. It'll be short, Chris. It'll be over with. Don't you worry. We've talked about it. Wasn't there something? Was it Master of the Universe was the sequel? It was something we talked about, and it was like basically that all the ideas they had for that they ended up putting in Cyborg instead, or something like.
It was the one. It was Lance Henriksen with that big arm. wasn't it? That the bloke who directed that directed Cyborg, wasn't it?
No, there was something where all the ideas that they had, all the money they had for it, all the production went into that instead.
Oh, right.
I can't remember. Anyway,
that's... You're right. It was Masters Universe, I think. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, right.
That's my pick.
We'll look into it next time. Anyway.
Yeah, I've never seen it, and I want to see it, so we're doing.
Brilliant.
It.
Well, happy birthday, Alex. That's
a
present to you. join us for that next time. Get in touch. Mail at sciencefiction. No, that's not the right address. sciencefictionratingsystem@gmail.com. Go to the website sciencefictionratingsystem.com, buy a t-shirt, and
is that still on there?
Yeah. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.